The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Microphones on, people. It's time for the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast with Field, Matthew, and star Vanya Bell. Week 4. Full slate of game previews coming. A little bit of review from last night. What? Interrupt me 5 seconds of the show. What?
You notice they put a phone here? Literally, they just put a phone here. Like, what am I doing with a phone?
Like, if by literally you mean they just put a phone there, you mean for 2 weeks that phone has been there, then yes, it has literally just been there.
So who picked up?
No one.
Is it like room service? Is it the front desk?
It's got a special red cord.
What's going on?
Hey, Jimmy. How's he doing?
That's what the red line means.
How's he feeling about Danny Dimes?
He's excited about Danny Dimes.
He is. Okay, good. Good to know. Big fan of the New York Giants, of course. So yes, Matthew, you couldn't have asked that question during the 1 hour production meeting that we just had. Instead, you wanted to say,
I just noticed it. I literally just noticed it.
Wow. Riveting open there to the podcast. We got a bunch of games to preview, of course. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about what happened last night. I forget.
I'm sorry. I'm no Clay, Squirrel, or Smizzle.
Ooh, shots that? Fired right there. No, I'm not familiar.
All right. So our DFS pod, we do a DFS podcast.
No, we
right?
don't.
We don't.
ESPN does. ESPN right. does a DFS podcast.
And who are the stars?
And the stars are Mike Clay.
Yeah, I like
Daniel
Mike Clay.
Kopp.
He's all,
and
love that guy.
Al Seidenfeld, our friend Al Seidenfeld.
Yeah,
we love
Smizzle.
Al. Yeah. Right. And so what's so funny is that
as you put in your IFB.
Yeah, I put in my
after
IFB.
After the show started. Go ahead.
So anyway, so like, and so they put it into the feed of Fantasy Focus. So it's, you know, in,
right.
it
gets
you know,
a bump.
get a bump, like, you know, because it's a new podcast, but they throw it into the feed so that people that have subscribed to our show listen to theirs, you know, or at least get an opportunity to. And so, but then I got an alert yesterday. So I subscribed to our show. I don't listen. I download.
Of course.
And I got an alert yesterday that was like, oh, a new episode from Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. And I'm like, what is that? Because Daniel is the one who puts out the titles. And I'm just Daniel.
That's not
what
confirmed.
Is
it confirmed, Daniel?
It that goes was back a Daniel and forth. Thing.
That one was me, but it is unconfirmed as to who daily puts out those titles. Sometimes it's Jackson, the new guy, that does it.
You can't throw a new guy into the bus. Jackson, nice, works hard,
whatever.
Charming guy.
Daniel put that out.
But Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. Like you're a rock band or something. Like you're like some sort of like
a crappy band that you've never heard of.
What are you doing? What are you doing later? Oh, I'm going to listen to Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. Like, really?
I think it's actually.
You think that's going to become a thing?
I think it's not. Here's the thing, Matthew. You're missing the whole point. Squirrel, and Smizzle. It's CSS. Hey, did you catch the new CSS podcast?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what we're going
for. Are you guys a crappy band that no one's ever heard of?
I just said that. Wait a second.
Can I ask this question, though? Can I ask a question to put it
into football? It's so typical. I say something and no one listens.
Can I? Hold on, though. Hold on. Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Last, and then we'll get to football, I promise,
please,
in about 15 seconds.
Save us.
Are we really letting Matthew, the guy who was wearing cargo shorts and Air Pegasus until like a year ago, become the arbiter of what's cool and what's not, what's hip and what's not? Seriously, people? You're like, this guy judge such things?
I asked a legitimate question.
You okay.
Like, I want to know the thought process behind Clay, Squirrel, and Smith.
Yes, it's the CSS DFS podcast. I mean,
I like
it rolls
that.
Right off the
Now top. I'm in.
That's it.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
By the way, I just cannot take you seriously with that bright green microphone right next to
me. We have these new, for people that watch us on Twitter, YouTube,
your
ESPN Fantasy Facebook page, or on the ESPN app that
we're
are watching us live,
we got new
microphone covers.
Right. I believe they're called windscreens in the business.
Are they windscreens?
Windscreens is what they call them in the business.
Pop your peas.
They're called windscreens because you get too much hot air coming out of that.
Yeah. Hey, we are having fun today. We are also in a very Seattle Seahawks theme, given the colors. Mm-hmm. The colors look very much like the Seattle Seahawks do, but let's get to last night's game. To recap that briefly, for those who may have missed it, the Eagles improved to 2-2, a come-from-behind victory, very impressive in Green Bay. Jordan Howard was the star for Philadelphia. Is this the start of a thing, Matthew? He had 3 touchdowns last night. Not 1, not 2, not 3. And somebody maybe called it yesterday on the podcast.
I did hear that. I heard that you guys had talked about how poor the Green Bay Packers run defense had played and that you had said after Mike had said, like, hey, maybe this is the Miles Sanders breakout game, you actually said, no, watch Jordan Howard get three touchdowns. So nice call by you, Field.
Yeah, by the way, I'll have all the secrets
completely
to winning
legitimate.
Your life.
It was definitely not sarcastic either. It was definitely
not sarcastic.
Totally,
go back and check the tape. Grind the tape on
hold on. I've got
I'm
the
still
tape
working
right
my
here.
Way through Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle.
Hold on. I've got the tape.
Who knows? Jordan Howard could punch
say,
in three
like
short
Jordan
touchdowns,
Howard
right?
Be
you
that
know,
guy
like, who knows?
Okay, so a couple things here.
You know, who knows? Very strong take.
Very strong take by
Neil. Who knew? I knew. That's who knew. I knew.
That was
all right, Dad, I knew.
It was not a strong take. You will never be on First Take with that. Like, I don't know, maybe. Who knows? Maybe.
Well,
you know.
Maybe I'm just training.
I'm just saying.
I'm learning from my mistakes.
No Stephen A. Smith are you.
Believe it or not.
Nobody listened anyway because he was only started in 6% of ESPN leagues.
That's
well
correct.
Well done right there, Stefania. He was started in just 6% of leagues, and obviously Jordan Howard was not a player that anybody across the industry was super optimistic about.
Yeah.
I will say this.
I tweeted that out last night. I tweeted out that, like I said, he sitting on the bench in 94% of leagues, salute to the 4%.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I screwed up. Like, because I had in my mind 96%.
I almost
like, I don't know.
Tweeted you back to say
I know.
Like
I should have. And then I should have deleted it, and then I just didn't care. Whatever. It is what it is. I was off by 2%. Whatever.
Yeah, you were.
But here's
and if you listen to our podcast during the week, you know that's a really big deal.
Okay. Off by
2%. Oh, that 2% is a massive thing this week.
Ask Mike.
Inside joke. You would understand.
I would not understand. I download. I don't listen. But here's what I will tell you about Jordan Howard to answer your question about is this a thing? Like, kind of. Like, do I expect three touchdowns every year, every week? Obviously not. But I will say that I thought he looked good. Like, I thought, like, I mean, I thought he ran with more burst than I thought. I was impressed by the fact that they used him in the passing game. He actually ran 10 routes to only three for Miles Sanders in this game last night. He played more snaps, 32-21. And then you think about what's going over the last 3 weeks, right? So Miles Sanders, here's his snap count over the last 3 weeks. 31, 24, 21 last night. Jordan Howard, 15, 23, 32. Now, I think some of that is game flow. Because, you know, the Eagles got to get some shoot, you know, but the fact of the matter is this was a big win for Philadelphia on the road, short week against a 3-0 team. And what did they do? They had a balanced offense and they won it by running the ball and running it effectively. And so, yeah, I think Jordan Howard is very much a viable flex play. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem just, you know, it's tough. He's in a running back by committee, but like, I'm in a league where literally he was dropped before the game last night. For a kicker.
Well, that happens every once in a while in fantasy football. Must
saying,
be
so
a very strong
there.
Team for the person that dropped Jordan Howard. A reminder, by the
possibly.
Way. Possibly.
But whatever, he's available in like 40, right. Over almost 50% of leagues.
And Philly's schedule lightens up after that. A couple of pieces after last night. It gets much better in the second half of the season. So maybe more favorable matchups going forward. On the Packers side, two things. First of all, Aaron Jones ends up with 17.8 fantasy points. Here's a good thing, though. Or a bad thing. So when you play the Eagles, your running back is not going to have much room to work.
No.
With 13 carries for 21 yards and a touchdown. Part of the reason why Aaron Jones was so targeted in the passing game, seven times in total, is that Jamal Williams left the game on a stretcher, and there seemed to be some positive signs to find. It's certainly something we'll keep an eye on over the next week or so.
Yeah, I mean, you always are concerned when you see this happen. We saw it happen not once, but twice in last night's game. And Jamal Williams was the first to go out. I thought it's very telling when Aaron Jones was the one who signaled immediately for medical attention. Players just know when it's something like, no, we need you right now. Jamal Williams clearly unconscious and then transported to the spine board. We did get a report later that he had feeling and movement in all extremities, and they were keeping him for further evaluation. But it sounds, yes, the first reports were positive.
That's good news there.
It is great news. And can I just get on my soapbox for 20 seconds here and just say to people out there that listen, like, don't be the guy that cheers for a player to leave by injury because you have Aaron Jones on your fantasy team. And if you, for some reason, have that thought, don't express it on Twitter. Don't expose yourself as that guy. Just don't do that, okay? Like, we all want our players to do well, but, like, that was awful. That was an awful scene, and we're all hoping for the best for Jamal Williams. Like, just don't be that guy. That's all I'm asking, because I saw that on Twitter a decent amount last night, and I was, you know, I didn't want to get into it, but, like, just whatever. Like,
do that.
Devontae Adams also.
It's just,
agreed,
it just,
of course.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams also left the game last night. A late toe issue, Stefania.
Yeah.
Bad news, good news. Bad news is a toe issue. I guess the silver lining is he doesn't have to go far to see the leading toe specialist
Right.
I think the country.
Foot and ankle specialist Dr. Bob Anderson, a member of the Green Bay Packers medical staff now and right there in Green Bay. So obviously he has access to him. You saw Davante Adams after one play just kind of grab his right toe. And then if you saw him on the sideline, he was walking very stiff-legged with clear sign that he could not push off that toe. Rob Domofsky tweeted later that he did his post-game interview. So, you know, it's nice when the player is able to talk to the media. Always take that as a positive, but he was holding his shoe in his hand, said it was so painful, and he described it as a turf toe, which is essentially damage to the ligaments around the toe. Said it was so painful he didn't even want to try to put his shoe on. So stay tuned to see what comes next, but not a great thing for Davante Adams, who looked like he was finally going to get in the end zone. Like, there were so many opportunities, didn't quite happen.
Yeah, listen, you're not upset if you have a Davante Adams based on what he did. I mean, he had a monster game. I'm playing against him in four leagues, so that was fun. We hope for the best for him. It'll be interesting to see what happens. They play at Dallas next week.
Right. But they have 10 days. Maybe those extra 3 days do help Davante Adams get rested after his 180-yard performance last night. Time now for some game previews.
Game previews.
All right, the Patriots and the Bills, perhaps the game of the weekend. Both teams 3-0. This game is being played in Buffalo. A lot of people fired up for this game. Assuming he plays and he's been limited in practice both days, Julian Edelman is a player that we feel comfortable starting. But Matthew, you've got sort of a love-hate thing going on with the Patriots backfield this week, and it may not be the person or the player that people expect to be on the love or the hate list.
Yeah, so Sony Michel is somebody that's concerning to me this week, right? So on the season, he's running back 45. Okay. So certainly has not returned the draft value in terms of where you got him. He's averaging just 2.4 yards per carry. His longest run of the season is 12 yards. Okay, through 3 weeks, 67 different players have at least one run of 13 or more yards. Sony Michel does not have that. His longest is 12 yards. He's literally been the worst running back after first contact so far this year, just 0.73 yards per carry after first contact. Isn't involved in the passing game, right? Has yet to catch a pass so far this season. The injury to James Devlin, we talked about this earlier in the week on this show, that is going to be a loss for this Packers run game. So my concern here is, especially when you think about how good Buffalo is against the run, that I think this is a James White and Rex Burkhead game, and we'll talk about Josh Gordon also made the hate list, like the Buffalo Bills fewest deep yards allowed. I mean, Buffalo's really top five, I believe they're top five in terms of fewest deep yards allowed. And so what I would say here is that as a result, I'm not crazy about Josh Gordon this week, but I think this is a game that goes underneath, right? I think this is a James White game. And by the way, Rex Burkhead, who's available in 60% of ESPN leagues, has 41 fantasy points. He has the most fantasy points of any Patriots running back. I would prefer to start Rex Burkhead this week over Sony Michel.
Okay, fair enough on that. I don't hate the call there. What I will say is this. I've got Sony Michel as 28th in my running back rankings. People are saying, like, how's he going to get to 28th if he's not going to run the ball effectively? My call of the week. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
It is not a Sony Michel day in terms of yards. He's scoring a touchdown, though, on Sunday. They're going to grind out drives. He's going to finish one with a touchdown
on Sunday. Which could certainly happen. I have him at 30, so we're not that far off.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just telling you how I'm getting to my number at 28.
I would just say Rex Burkhead has a foot injury, which he's been practicing with, and I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out, but it could impact his utilization.
How about Devin Singletary on the other side of the ball here, Stefania? He also dealing with a hamstring issue.
Yeah, remember the hamstring kept him out in week two. He did get back to practice on Thursday on a limited basis. That's his one practice that he's had since the injury. So big thing for me is, how does the player respond overnight? So you want to see what he does today. If he's not any worse and they upgrade him to full, obviously, then we'll feel very good about him.
Sean McDermott's pretty good about being transparent about these injury situations on Friday. So we'll learn more about Devin Singletary today. But Matthew, even if he does play, I don't think there's any Bill you feel super confident playing. The Patriots right now, in terms of performance to this point, have been the best defense in football by far.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not, yeah, and it, yes, by far. Like, it's not close. They allow 2.29 yards per carry. Frank Gore is still there. I don't think you'll see a lot of Yeldon if he's active here, but, like, I don't know. Like, so Singletary, you don't know how much usage he's going to get. It's a tough matchup here. He's coming off the hamstring injury. It's a low-scoring game, right? The over-under is 42.5. It's one of the lowest over-unders on the slate this weekend. So, I mean, I have Devin Singletary in the War Room League, and I'm not planning on playing him. Like, so in a 16-team league, I'm not planning on playing Devin Singletary. I love the player, and I love him long-term. And honestly, if he struggles this week, make a low ball offer on him because I do think he ends up having a very good year. I don't think it happens this Sunday. I don't think it starts on Sunday, though.
The Chiefs go to undefeated Detroit Lions in Detroit on Sunday. The over-under in this game is much higher, 54.5 points. The Chiefs are favored by nearly a touchdown. You're starting Patrick Mahomes. That's my tip of the week. Also, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce,
whoa.
Kenny Golladay.
Hang on, wait.
Bold.
Bold
take.
Did you hear that?
Did we clip that for video?
Did you hear Field Yates just say that his start of the week is Patrick Mahomes?
How dare he?
No, I'm just saying. Like, is there a role for him on Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle? Like, with that
it's
kind of analysis.
CSS. It's called CSS DFS.
CSS DFS.
Whatever. No,
yes.
I'm not going there
I'm
yet.
I'm talking Patrick Mahomes.
No, I'm on Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. The headline said Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. It didn't say CSS. It said Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle.
Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle think that Patrick Mahomes is actually good value in DFS this week.
I like that. Good to know. So, once again, I'm right. So amongst the other pieces of information...
Like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Remember when Young came in?
I do.
I'm just saying, right?
Yeah. Yes. Like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be Clay, Squirrel, Smizzle, and Yates?
And Yates.
Or Tomato? Like, we need a nickname for you, because you can't just be Field or Yates, because it's Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. Like, they're doing the nickname thing.
Mm, spicy would probably work.
Spicy?
Yeah.
Clay, Squirrel, Smizzle, and Spicy?
Yes.
Yeah. How about just Spice? Can we just call you Spice?
Spice? Yeah, I'm into Spice. Spice Adams kind of has that
Clay, Squirrel, Smizzle, and Spice doesn't sound too bad.
All right, we'll figure something out. The Chiefs' backfield injuries are a notable storyline in this game, Stefania. Both Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy are banged up going into
Sunday. Yeah, Damian Williams still not practicing, and he had the contusion on his knee that kept him out last week. Has not practiced since. Meanwhile, LeSean McCoy upgraded to a full practice yesterday. Remember, he aggravated his ankle and left the game early last week, so there was some concern. But he's already done more this week than he did leading up to last week's game. So I don't think there's any doubt that McCoy will be available. Damian Williams looking like he'll be absent again this week.
Okay, so not expecting Damian Williams. We are expecting LeSean McCoy. So, Matthew, with that in mind, how would you rank LeSean McCoy and Darryl Williams as a result of that information?
Yeah, I mean, right now I have McCoy at 23. I have Darryl Williams at 47. Darryl Williams will obviously move up if we know for sure that Damian Williams is not playing, and it certainly doesn't seem like he's trending in that direction, right? So you heard what Stefania said. So look, I prefer LeSean McCoy. I hate to, you know this. I'm not the biggest McCoy fan, but honestly, he's looked good. You got to give credit where credit is due. He has looked good before he left last week's game to injury. Through the first three quarters, basically, he had 11 touches. Darryl Williams had 8. The snaps were even. McCoy, 24. Williams, 23. So I would say LeSean McCoy is certainly a viable flex play with some RB2 potential in what should be a high-scoring game. The over-under is 54.5, so we expect this to be one of the higher-scoring games here. So McCoy, who has actually gained 10 or more yards on 17% of his carries so far this season, that's seventh best among running backs with at least 25 carries. But I do think there's some flex appeal, and you know, Darryl Williams, who's not rostered in a lot of leagues, I think there's some flex appeal here to Darryl Williams, who 14 for 109 against the Ravens in week 3, right? You think about the Lions, who allow the 10th most yards per carry. They allow the second most yards per carry after first contact. Like, and Andy Reid, it does not seem like he wants to give the entire workload to McCoy.
Will Kerryon Johnson and TJ Hockenson get back on track this week is probably the big question for the Lions. Kerryon Johnson did find the end zone last week, but it was a pretty not memorable rushing performance.
I mean, and especially because he had 21 touches.
Right, he had 21 touches.
He got a lot of volume.
He did find the end zone, had double-digit scoring, so that basically was a saving grace. Kerryon Johnson, though, I think we can get back on track because it's a very, very solid matchup against the Chiefs, who are allowing over 6 yards per carry this season. Wow.
So Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs, Mark Ingram are the three main running backs that have faced Kansas City so far this year. All three of them, very small sample, but all three of those players averaged 53% more yards per carry against the Chiefs than they have in any other game this season. So just another way to say the same stat you did, which is the Chiefs have struggled against the run so far this year. And again, he's part of the passing game. We want to see more involved in the passing game than he has been so far, but he got 80% of the Lions running back carries in week 3. Look, it was a tough matchup with Philadelphia, but again, in a high scoring game, I don't know how you don't start Kerryon Johnson. I'm as a top 15 play this week.
I know you guys know that I'm not much for tight end stats. I think there are so few quality tight ends that a couple of games can really skew them. I will pass along, though, because Kyle noted it. Kansas City has already allowed 26 completions to the tight end position so far this year. They faced the Jaguars tight ends, Darren Waller in week two, and then last week, Mark Andrews and company for the Baltimore Ravens. So we expect TJ Hockenson to have a big week. I get it. It's been really bad the past couple of weeks after a remarkable start in week one, but I would say this is a good week to feel confident about TJ Hockenson given the matchup against Kansas City.
He's top three in tight end zone targets. I mean, so like, he's got three, but what, you know, so it's all small sample size. But yes, when they get in close, he's a big target that they're looking for at least a little bit. I do think Stafford's an interesting streamer this week. Again, it's a high scoring game. I think what you're counting on with Hockenson here is, hey, they're going to have to throw to keep up with Kansas City because everyone has to throw to keep
Correct.
Up with Kansas
sure
City.
Sure do. The Redskins go to New York. Well, actually East Rutherford, New Jersey to play yes. the Giants. First home start for Daniel Dimes. The Redskins are on the road this week. That makes things more difficult than a short week. But Stefania, perhaps even more concerning than that, is that the one thing we care about with the Redskins offense, F1 McLaurin, popped up on the injury report on Thursday.
I'm not on board with F1 McLaurin, by the way.
What would you like instead?
I don't have a great nick. I will be
right,
the
you can't suggest
something. Hang on. So we always used to, when I used to write comedy, right? When I used to, back when I was on a show, and you'd be in the writer's room, you weren't allowed to basically kill a joke if you didn't have another pitch yourself. You couldn't say that's
okay,
not
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. Practice right?
so,
what you preach.
So that's what I'm saying. 100%. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have a better nickname for him. So I'm not.
Soren McLaurin.
Yeah, you just violated the rule, though.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm not embracing it yet. I don't know that I
Does
love
CSS,
it the way.
Does CSS have any pet nicknames for him or no?
No, we just went with F1.
F1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you
Come
like F1?
Option.
Yeah.
You like F1?
Of course I like
options.
F1.
You know
we'll
what? I want to poll Thirsty Kyle.
Oh.
I think we've already,
we already
played him
that.
A couple
we
of times,
We actually did
right?
that with the scary, you know, you guys, nobody wants the scary Terry because that's already taken.
Right, but just, I'm asking for the poll. Yes, are we on board with F1 as McLaurin's nickname? Yes
well,
or no?
Well, how about this? More important than his nickname, is he going to play on Sunday, Stefania?
Yes, more important than that.
I don't know. Is that more important, Matthew?
Yes.
Okay.
For me? For me?
Know,
for the Redskins?
For how much you love him. Look,
yes.
Washington did not practice on Wednesday. It was actually only an estimation. So when they did practice on Thursday, McLaurin shows up with a hamstring issue. It sounds like he's not too serious. You want to see what he does on Friday, but I'm feeling pretty optimistic. This was just a precautionary move.
Okay, good news there in Matthew. He makes the Loveless as a result of that. Again, the matchup is tremendous against the Giants. They have been unable to stop anybody so far this year.
Dude, they've allowed a league-high 19 deep receptions, 5 deep touchdowns this season. McLaurin, by the way, ranks 6th in the NFL in air yards this season. He's ahead of Julio in air yards this season.
Wow.
I mean, he's just been nothing short of amazing. Opponents have completed over 70% of deep passes against the Giants. Like, Janoris Jenkins, what's going on? Like, it's been...
Yeah, not very good, huh?
It has been a struggle there. And then you think about what's going on here. I actually think the Giants win this game. They're 3-point favorites. The over-under is 49.5, and I'd actually take the over. I think you've got two functional offenses and two bad defenses here. And so McLaurin, who's got a 50% end zone target share, a 30% red zone target share this season, going against a Giants team that's allowed the 5th most red zone drives this year. Yeah, look, give me some McLaurin, who, by the way, is the king of junk time. 13 of his 16 catches have come when they're trailing. Redskins pass 78.8% of the time when they're trailing. That is the 4th highest rate in the NFL. Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory.
Well, not so much in the hail victory part, but good stuff. I mean, I'm glad that you feel loyalty to your team?
Sure.
We talked about Wayne Gallman.
By the way, just very quickly before we move on, I'll just mention very quickly that I do think if you're desperate for a wide receiver, I do think Paul Richardson is sort of interesting. 8-for-83 last week as well. He's out there in a ton of leagues. Like,
talked about him on the podcast quite a bit yesterday for those who felt like Mike's, you know, the matchup is very favorable, as Mike mentioned as well yesterday.
Did he get mentioned on DFS CSS or whatever?
Yeah, he did actually.
Okay, he should have. Because I bet you he's cheap in
all
DFS.
All those wide receivers are super cheap in DFS.
We've discussed Wayne Gallman a bunch this week, so you kind of know where we stand on this. We've got him ranked as a flex consideration. As of right now, he seems to be the clear-cut guy. The Giants did promote a practice squad running back, but all the buzz this week is actually about Daniel Jones. First week as a starter, he lights the NFL on fire. 336 passing yards, 4 total touchdowns. How much confidence do you have this week in Daniel Jones in a good matchup?
Yeah, I have Danny Dimes as a top 10 play.
Yeah,
I mean,
we all have him at number 9.
We all have him at number 9.
Look at
that.
Harmony.
I know.
My Redskins, my beloved little Redskins, my 0-3 Redskins, have allowed all 3 quarterbacks they have faced so far this year to complete over 70% of their passes. And then you think, well, they don't have Saquon in this game.
True.
By the way, but 61% of Jones's offensive snaps last week came without Saquon Barkley on the field. And he obviously still put up huge fantasy numbers last year. Last week, I should say, look, I've talked about this stat. I think I talked about it on Monday. I've talked about it a lot, but I think this is amazing. In the last 15 years, there have been only five other quarterbacks that have had a game with 330 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, and two rushing touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, he's done it twice.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson.
He's good.
Drew Brees, of all people. Not the most mobile quarterbacks, yeah, but probably two, you know, over the top runs. Michael Vick, Russell Wilson, and Danny Dimes.
Pretty
and
good
Danny Dimes did it in his NFL starting debut. None of the other players did that as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback every single week, but when the matchup is right, and it certainly is in a home game against my Redskins, fire him up.
He's no longer a sleeper, but if he were, Stefania, where would he rest?
Impressive.
That was pretty good.
I don't know.
I got to admit, that's pretty good. If that doesn't get him on Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle, I don't know what will. He's just asking for like a 10-minute spot. That's all I'm asking.
Are you done?
I'm done. Go ahead. Tell us about.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but it's the 100th year of the NFL.
More
than 1,800 NFL players are now sleeping on Sleep Number beds.
What? No way.
Do you have a favorite NFL team or player?
I do. I do.
How much better do you think they would play and or recover with good quality sleep?
God, that's scary to think about that Terry McLaurin could be even better than he already is.
Well, you know, Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust on each side to your ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you've slept and gain insights for your best sleep. Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep from $999. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/FF.
My beautiful wife Beth and I, we're talking about getting a new bed. We need a new bed. We've had the same one for a few years now. That actually sounds good.
Yeah,
that
actually sounds good. You can adjust. Yeah,
only
then
575
like,
locations to go
right?
check out.
I know.
Including
yeah,
one locally.
For 999, smart IQ, you know, get well, sleep better.
Yeah.
You could use
like
all
your
those
hourly
things.
Rate, Matthew,
scrolls,
$999.
Yeah.
Think how much more tolerable.
See if Sleep Number wants an endorsement deal.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
How much more tolerable would Matthew be if
he actually slept?
Yeah, if I actually slept.
Buccaneers go to Los Angeles.
See if they'll put it in my office.
Play the Rams. Buccaneers go to the Rams, go to Los Angeles to play the Rams. Rams are big favorites in this game, in part because they're better, in part because there are some concerns about the Bucs' offensive artillery, Stefania, including Chris Godwin. Back-to-back days of not practicing.
New injury this week on the injury report because of his hip and has not practiced either day. I think nobody's really saying anything. Everybody's like, let's just see what happens on Friday because there's not a ton of information, but certainly don't like a guy not being out there for 2 days.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one. Really not, there's not a Bucs wide receiver you feel confident in to start if Chris Godwin sits, but.
Well, I mean, Mike Evans, you're still starting Mike Evans.
Well,
obviously, yes. Like, I mean, like a replacement wide receiver
right.
that would
yeah,
sit
you're not,
for
like,
Chris
you're
Godwin.
Not, you're not sitting there going, oh, give me some Breshad Perriman or whatever.
Right. But are you confident at all in his teammate, O.J. Howard, who could he be on your bench? Or should he be off your bench, I should say? I mean, he caught a pass last week. That was encouraging.
3 for 66 on 4 targets. Like, there were signs of life.
Yeah, that was better.
There
better
were signs
zero
of life.
Zero, yeah.
Look, I mean, if there's a positive here, I mean, he's averaging 12 air yards per target. That ranks second among tight ends.
Yep.
We expect the Buccaneers to be down and throwing. And the corners are so good for the Rams. And they bring pressure that maybe there's some dump offs to O.J. Howard. Like, but you can hear sort of the weakness in my voice here and that I don't have a particularly strong argument or take. I'm not getting on First Take anytime soon either. Because I'm nervous. Like awesome. He's seen just 1 of 10 red zone targets this year, just 1 of 11 end zone targets for the Buccaneers, right? I mean, like, he hasn't been great. You know, I don't think this is going to be a great Jameis game. So I'm outside my top 10. I'm higher on him than you guys are. I'm at 11. You guys have him at 14. But I don't have him as a starter this week. So I think what you're hoping for with O.J. Howard is some junk time here because, you know, we just haven't seen the production.
You also believe...
But the position is so ugly that, like, you're just, like... You're hoping.
You are also higher on Jared Goff than we are. You've got him at 6. I've got him at 11. fancy yourself a board bet on this one, Matthew?
Yeah, what do you got?
So you have him at 6. I have him 11. That's
five spots. Can I make
the
case for Jared
apart.
Goff before we do the board
I mean,
bet?
You can. I kind of feel like the board bet speaks for itself, but go for it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say, so first off, Jared Goff has been nothing short of amazing when he's at home since the beginning of last season, right? Jared Goff has scored 18 fantasy points in 9 different games. 8 of them have come when he's played at home. He's averaging over 24 fantasy points per game at home. And then you think about Tampa Bay, that despite having the NFL sacks leader on their team, still creates pressure at a below average rate. They blitz at the third highest rate, and they still create pressure at like a below average rate. And so when Jared Goff isn't pressured, he's 6th in yards per attempt. He's 9th in touchdowns. I think at home, Sean McVay, after like, look, the offense did not look great against the Browns. It got the job done,
yeah,
but didn't look great. So my expectation is that in a favorable matchup here, look, Todd Bowles, I think, has actually done a great job with the Buccaneers defense this year, given what he has to work with. But I think they're overmatched in this one. Give me some Jared Goff, especially with a run game struggling. I certainly like Jared Goff against the Buccaneers' bottom 12 pass defense.
So we pulled out last night's quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz. So you have him at 6, I have him at 11, which factors in those players having already been removed. That's 5 slots difference. If you add 2.5 to 6, that would get you to 8.5. Same thing if you took away 2.5 from 11. So should we do this? Like, if he's 8th or 9th, it's a push. So basically, you're calling him a top 7 play. I'm calling him a not a top 10, not like 10 or worse. Does that seem fair to you?
That seems very fair.
So you say top 7 play. I say
Jared Goff is a top 7 play. Well, not counting Rodgers and Wentz, right? We take them out of it.
What do we think?
Because we know they're both going to, they both had, right? I mean, Rodgers especially.
I feel like we need a board bet arbiter here.
If we're using the ranks,
everyone behind the glass says that you count them because they count at the end of the week. They are quarterback, whatever right. this is.
But the rank, is based on not them not being there.
Yeah,
right?
So we add them back into this rank. So
I would have them at 8. You would have them at 13.
Yeah, that's where it would
be.
Do
you want to just say that Jared Goff? Because I'm
he's a top 10 play,
right? And I say he's not because me being the man of the people.
Mike Clay thinks this is a terrible execution here.
Right, it is.
Oh, am I not going to be on Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle? Did I just get cut from that podcast?
I will take Matthew off the hook here. Mike is just like his delivery was just completely. He fumbled it like no one's business yesterday. We are just working through this. Be careful, wait, Daniel. I say Jared Goff is not a top 10 quarterback in week 4.
I say Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback in week 4. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
There you go. Seahawks go to Arizona to play the Cardinals. The Seahawks are favored by 5 on the road. Will Dissly has been red hot of late, sort of. He had 2 touchdowns in week 2. He had a garbage time touchdown in week 3. Nick Vannett has been traded. Matthew, should Will Dissly be a must start for tight ends this week?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I mean, I'm as a top 5 play this week. Will Dissly, in games in which he's been healthy and active, continues to produce. So he's gotten 14 targets this year. He's caught 12 of them. He's scored 3 times in the past 2 weeks. You couldn't ask for a better matchup against a Cardinals team that has given up 5 touchdowns to opposing tight ends in 3 games. 5 in 3 games. He's the only tight end with multiple end zone receptions this season. He's got 3 end zone targets. Remember, he didn't really play in week 1 either, right? 3 end zone targets. Only Travis Kelce has more than that so far this year. Again, it's all small sample size, but in a game in which the over-under is 48 points and the Seahawks are favored by 5, they're going to have to throw. And other than Tyler Lockett, there's not really a pass catcher that's emerged from Seattle. So do I think it's a huge volume here? No, but do I think he catches 3 or 4 balls and gets in the end zone? Yes, I do.
Okay.
And here, I'll just tell you one thing. This is what I did, and I know we're going to get to this game later. But like in the leagues in which I have Vance McDonald, I'm picking up Will Dissly and I'm starting him. I don't want to wait till Monday to know if he's playing or not. So I think Dissly is a terrific fill-in. If you're worried about O.J. Howard, if you have Vance McDonald, give me some Will Dissly this week.
Here's why I'm confident in Chris Carson. People probably say to themselves, he fumbled last week. Again, yep. He keeps fumbling every game so far this season. Pete Carroll's different than most coaches. You follow the rhetoric this week from Pete Carroll, and it underscores what I believe is going to be their approach to this. Some coaches, when you fumble, you get pulled from the game. And I get it, right? Ball security is job security when you're a running back. Pete Carroll, Mr. Positive, Mr. Everything is going to be all right. Hakuna Matata. He is going to build Chris Carson's confidence back up by continuing to thrust him back out there on the field and playing him. Along those lines, I still have Chris Carson as a top 16 running back this week, as do all of us. So if you're worried about him being stripped of his role, I'm telling you that I don't think it's going to happen. I think they go back to Chris Carson like he's their guy.
I agree, especially because, by the way, like fumbling is a weird thing that has just sort of cropped up. Like, he didn't fumble at all in college. He's only lost two fumbles in his NFL career prior to this year.
Yeah.
Right? So, he's missed some time with injury, but he's been in two NFL seasons. And so you think about the Cardinals, who have allowed the fourth most red zone drives. They're a bottom three run defense, like, and they're favored in this one. So, yeah, he made the love list because I think people are really worried about Chris Carson, and I'm not. I think Chris Carson is a top 20 play as well. Again, I have him as a top 15 play this week. Start Chris Carson if you have him, Stefania. Quick question. How about Rashad Penny? Because that's one of the things that people have been asking about in regards to Carson.
Right. He didn't play last week because of the hamstring injury late in the week, and he didn't practice on Wednesday. Did do limited work on Thursday, so it's possible that he's back. But these guys, to me, when they're like still limited late in the week, they're not necessarily 100% healthy, especially if they missed the week before.
Pete Carroll said he was going to practice on Wednesday. Did he practice at all, which is interesting. Yeah, so we'll see.
He didn't practice Wednesday. Did do a little bit Thursday.
Right, but he had said, he was like, yeah, he's going to be good on Wednesday. And then
Pete Carroll is the most, to your point, like, he's the most optimistic guy.
Like, and then he'll say later, we were hoping that we'd get him out there because he was feeling pretty good, but then we decided to wait.
You have any confidence in Kyler Murray against the Seahawks? Not the same Seahawks defense we've seen of late.
It isn't. And the confidence I have here is that we finally saw him run last week, right? I mean, that was something that was really encouraging, I think, when it comes to Kyler Murray. 69 rushing yards last week as well. He leads the NFL here, by the way. In addition to the rushing, like, the volume is insane. He leads the NFL with 157 dropbacks so far this year. That's 17 more than any other quarterback. You look at his completion percentage. Over the week one, 53%. Week two, 62.5%. Last week, 69.8%. He's getting more comfortable in the NFL. He's getting more comfortable in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. He's running more. They're using him more. You think about the Seahawks defense as well. Like, they're 16th against the pass, right? I mean, they're middle of the pack. And so, again, in a game in which the over-under is 48 points and they're going to be trailing, yeah, I do think Kyler Murray has a nice fantasy day here. I am as a top 12 play.
All right, let's go to the Vikings and Bears. This game is being played in Chicago. The Bears are a pretty simple team in a lot of ways. You know who you feel confident in starting. But for the Vikings, really easy question, Matthew. Are you starting or sitting Stephon Diggs? And I understand there are probably a lot of caveats. Depends on who else you have. I get it. Speaking generally, though, would you feel like you're going to start or sit?
No, I mean, listen, I have him in our 16-team War Room League. I have to start him because it's just,
You also mentioned the concern with Devin Singletary's injury, so that factors into it.
Right.
But yes,
exactly.
you are starting him reluctantly, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting him reluctantly. But look, I ranked him 38th, right? You have him at 35. Stefania has him at 39. So we're all like, we all have him as a mid-tier wide receiver four. A tough matchup, obviously, against the Chicago Bears. Since the beginning of last year, Chicago has allowed a touchdown on just 3.5% of pass attempts. That's the third lowest in the NFL. And by the way, he's very touchdown dependent. This is crazy, but since Kevin Stefanski has become the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, 54% of Stephon Diggs' fantasy points have come from a touchdown.
Interesting.
I mean, which is like, so it's just like not a guy that he's usually been a guy that's like, this is a guy who caught 100 balls last year.
Right.
I mean, and so like, it's just nervous. Do you think he scores? Vikings are averaging just 21 passes per game. Compare that to the Seattle Seahawks, who last year were the run heaviest team in the NFL. And they at least threw 26 passes a game. Like, I mean, they're run heavy, even for run heavy teams. And so in a tough matchup with Chicago, nothing you've seen this season gives you confidence in starting Stephon Diggs. Like, he's got the talent. And we saw McLaurin and Richardson have nice games against Chicago last week. So,
junk time.
Yeah.
Junk time games.
Completely junk time games.
I think that
we think this game is going to be super close. So.
Right. This could be a 13-10 win for Minnesota.
Correct.
That would not surprise me based off how these two teams have played defense so far this season. Daniel, please tell us about the always entertaining Full Sail University.
Oh yeah, Field, you bet. This episode of Fantasy Focus is brought to you by Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting.
Cool.
Legendary sportscaster Dan Patrick has teamed up with Full Sail University to offer an accelerated bachelor's degree in sportscasting. Full Sail University combines hands-on learning, immersive projects, and faculty with real-world experience to prepare students for life in the media industry. And for the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, they've brought in some of sports media's best to be a part of this program. Award-winning producer Gus Ramsey is heading up the program.
Gus.
and sports casting pros such as Sage Steele, Jay Harris, and Kevin Nagandi, and many more, are involved. I'm sure they just accidentally left my name out of that list.
I was going to say, has anyone, Field, have you been invited?
I was not invited. Dan Patrick? No, I was not. Nope.
Dan,
I believe Daniel was.
I'm working on it right now.
I actually talked to Gus last week, and he said that was not a mistake.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Interesting. Thanks. What about Stefania? Thanks, Stefania, cool, you been invited to speak there?
Nope. Yeah, students will learn.
It's weird because Gus, Gus sent me a note asking, we're doing a what not to do session, and we'd love to have you come there, but just schedules didn't work out.
That makes sense. Students will learn sports casting inside and out, both on camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, interviewing, and everything in between. At Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sports Casting, you can earn a bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months, and you can choose to earn your degree online or on Full Sail's campus in beautiful Orlando, Florida. To learn more about Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sports Casting, go to fullsail.edu/fantasyfocus.
All righty, moving along here to the Titans at the Falcons. This game is being played in Atlanta. You are starting Derrick Henry, Matt Ryan, and Julio Jones. Normally we'd say start Delanie Walker, but Stefania, a piece of information on him that might give you a bit of hesitation.
Just that he hasn't practiced, and it's something new. It's a knee injury. There's not much detail. I think that there's not, I haven't seen any alarm bells from the people I trust in Tennessee, and I think that's because Delanie Walker's such a gamer.
Yeah.
He almost never misses a game, so Friday's obviously a big day, but just make sure you check what the reports are at the end of today because he has not been out there yet.
All right, so yesterday I made a trade in the league. It's a keeper league. There's salaries involved. There's contract years, all kinds of factors, so it's never as simple as just like this player for that player, but the deal was Devontae Freeman being sent to me for Robert Woods being sent to the other player. Have I made a mistake in acquiring Devontae Freeman, Matthew? Is he nothing more than a flex play now?
And this is a keeper league?
It's a keeper league. But it's short. It's not like a, yeah. It's a keeper league, but there are all kinds of.
Right, because you got
there's
salaries.
A lot of stuff going on.
I will say that I would prefer Robert Woods long-term than Devontae Freeman in a keeper league, just in general.
Right. Woods was near the end of his contract, Freeman's right, so at the beginning of his. That's why it's sort of a keeper league.
Got it. So there's mitigating factors, but yeah, I believe so. Look, here's the positives on Devontae Freeman. I'll try to make you feel better about your trade, right?
Please do.
Which is, I thought he looked good last week. I thought he looked sort of like the old Devontae, and once Ito Smith left the game, like, he had a nice game here, but Ito Smith, we expect him back this week, right, Stefania? He looks like he's on track to play.
He's still is in a non-contact jersey, right, doing limited work. Needs the clearance, but so I would say wait till today.
Trending in the right direction, sounds like, but we never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's a guy he's somebody that, yes, I'm a little bit concerned on. You think about this matchup, right? He made the hate list this week, although I will say this. If Ito Smith is out, obviously, I would take him off the hate list. It's always important to work this out. But my expectation is that Ito Smith plays and that, you know, prior, it was, you know, Ito Smith was eating into his touches in the first couple of games, right? Then you think about this Titans defense that have allowed just one rushing touchdown so far this season, right? They have played very, very well. Titans have faced so far this season. Titans have faced Nick Chubb, Marlon Mack, and Leonard Fournette. They're still the 10th best in terms of fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. Like, that's kind of a murderer's row of running backs.
It's pretty good.
And again, they're top 10. So the Titans in a game, like, Freeman, like, again, had a nice game because he got all the work, but I'm concerned about this matchup, especially if Ito Smith comes back there. I feel like they take to the air. I feel like this is a Matt Ryan, Julio game. I think Calvin Ridley gets into the end zone here.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned Calvin Ridley, right, then, because we're now, this will be the 20th game of his career. Have we learned anything about Calvin Ridley? Because it feels like the script on him now is basically the same script that's been since after his first massive game early on last year. He's kind of Jekyll and Hyde, right? Like, he could have a touchdown or two.
Yeah.
He could also have a catch for 6 yards like last week against the Colts. A good but not incredible defense.
Yeah. I mean, look, Calvin Ridley made my preseason love hate entirely for this reason. He's way too inconsistent. He's way too up and down. And where he was going in drafts, I thought was crazy this year. He was going, you know, pretty high. A lot of people were very high on Calvin Ridley, and I certainly love the talent of the kid. But yeah, I'm concerned about this. Having said that, like I said, I think they stop the run here. My expectation here is that Atlanta throws and throws successfully against Tennessee, especially at home where Matt Ryan always plays well. Falcons favored in this game. They're 4-point favorites in this game. Ridley has scored in each of the past three wins and four of the past five for Atlanta. So it seems like as Calvin Ridley goes, so does the Falcons. I'm picking the Falcons in this game, if I can remember to fill out my pigskin pick'em form, which I did not do last week. So,
Is that a cop out? Did you actually go over 16?
No, I guess I went 0-16. Like, I got no, yes. I mean, cause
and
I didn't fill it out. I forgot it.
The score is hot and
I pulled a Stefania.
Well,
but here's what I didn't do. Here's what I didn't do. I didn't like call the tech guys and say like, oh, can we go back and change and blah, 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 blah. I accepted my moronicness. I owned it.
Not,
I just like,
it's
I'm,
not
over,
quite.
I went 0-16.
Then maybe the score should be 15 instead of 31.
I don't keep track of the score over there. I'm not doing that. Talk to whoever puts that up there. But I'm owning it.
Am I still
I'm
winning?
Owning it.
That's all that matters. Am I still winning?
I believe after taking the Eagles last night, Field, that you and I are both winning. You're ahead of me. I'm in second place, and then everyone else is just after.
Everybody the Packers, else is. But whatever. Irrelevant. I mean, whatever. Yeah.
Anyways,
because I didn't put in the Thursday night game last week, or I would have been tied in the lead with
okay.
Field.
Interesting. Just saying. I forgot the entire thing. I may forget this week, too. You know what? I may make it a point of pride to not play it. Maybe I just won't fill it out the rest of the year.
Minor setback for a major comeback from Matthew. The Panthers go to Houston to play the Texans.
Anyway,
you are picking the Falcons.
I'm picking the Falcons, and I think Ridley's a top 30 play this week.
Panthers at the Texans. This game is being played in Houston, starting Christian McCaffrey and G-Rag Olsen, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins. Matthew, DJ Moore is on the love list-ish. Is there like a little bit of a floating target?
Well, no, because there's the love list, and then I have a section where I called others receiving votes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He's so thanks for reading the column. Votes. He's in others receiving votes.
Yeah.
Thank you, I appreciate that. You download, you don't listen.
I retweet. I don't listen. Yeah.
Honestly, your retweet's more important than your read. Actually, I prefer you to retweet it than read it. Like,
fine,
if I have to
read it every week going forward. Then
no, don't read it. I want you to retweet.
You
it.
You want me to like it?
Yeah.
I'll like it. No retweet. Just like, yeah. Just like.
Whatever.
Just comment back to it. Trash. Yeah. Every week. Trash.
Fine.
I wish there was a way you could play.
I gave you a shout out
like.
In the comments this week.
I saw that. I did read it because you said, yes, proof that I read it. Okay. Matthew, the top of the column was about why you should not quit fantasy football.
Correct.
And you said things like, you know, you check Twitter and you find things like, or like, whatever.
I get
who
a lot
to start,
of questions.
Who to start, who to sit, you're an absolute moron. And then you put other parentheses like, in fairness, that's probably just Field. So
right.
Proof that I do read
there
the
you
column.
Go.
Sorry I did not comb through 9,000 words to get DJ Moore on the others receiving votes.
Only 5,000 words. Thank you very much. Not Cool Keith has to edit every single one of them, by the way. Hardest
the
working man.
A raise. Yeah.
I mean, whatever we pay Keith, it's not enough. I will tell you that much. That much is very much clear. Whatever we pay Keith, it is absolutely not enough. But yes, about DJ Moore here. So, by the way, did you know DJ Moore leads the way in terms of yards per catch after the reception? This is among the 38 wide receivers that have at least 65 catches since the beginning of last year.
Yeah,
but
I did know
leads
that.
The NFL in yards per catch after first reception, like better than Tyreek, better than Juju. Like, he's been nothing short of terrific. And then you think about where Houston's been vulnerable so far this season.
Vulnerable.
Right? Right? They give up the eighth highest opponent completion percentage for guys that are out wide. Well, that's where DJ Moore lines up the most. All 26 of his targets have come when he's been lined up wide. I like Kyle Allen in this game. Like, I'm a Kyle Allen believer. So I actually think him and Curtis Samuel both made my others receiving votes column here. And so going against a Texans defense that have struggled with speedy guys, and both these guys are so, so fast. You know, you think about Houston, 23rd against the pass. They're a bottom 12 pass defense. So, yeah, give me some DJ Moore. I'm at 23, sorry.
22, 23. Browns 23. And Ravens coming up in just a moment. Rex Ryan used to coach with the Baltimore Ravens. You just saw, if you're watching the video stream, the Ravens host the Browns. Massive game on Sunday. The Browns, as bad as it's been, Keith, the Browns win on Sunday. First place in the AFC North. Imagine that. You are starting Nick Chubb. You are starting Odell Beckham. You're starting Lamar Jackson. You're starting Mark Ingram. But
I've heard of all of those.
You have? How about this? Have you heard of this guy, Matthew? Would you actually start Baker Mayfield? I get it. In a two-quarterback league, basically every quarterback starts. But would you start in a 10 or even a 12 or even a 14-team league Baker Mayfield this week?
No.
How about a 16-team league? Still no.
Probably not.
Wow. How the mighty have fallen.
I said, I love Baker Mayfield. Like, I love him as a player, right? And I think he gets it figured out sooner rather than later. I think that, look, I have him as the quarterback in our dynasty league. You know, a bunch of us all are in this dynasty league. Me, you, Stefania, Not Cool Keith, Daniel, Thirsty Kyle's in it, right? So I have Baker Mayfield as my quarterback in that league. But I said on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus that, like, I'm okay if you drop him in a 10-team, one-quarterback league. He's quarterback 25 this year, right? He's got less fantasy points than Joe Flacco. He's got less fantasy points than Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins doesn't throw. I mean, like there's nothing about Baker Mayfield's play so far this year that gives you any confidence going against the Ravens. The offensive line looks terrible. He looks lost, right? The Ravens, top five in blitz and pressure percentage so far this year. In their last 23 home games, the Ravens allow just 11.8 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks here. Like, they're, make the case for Baker Mayfield.
I can't. I want to say something, though, because I do this, you do this, everybody who covers fantasy football does this. When right. we are down on a player that we were previously up on, or one that we just enjoy the personality of, we say this thing where, like, it's not personal. I like Baker Mayfield as a player. I would like us to cease doing that going forward. If fans don't understand that, like, it's not personal with Baker Mayfield, it is objective, and he could prove us wrong, just like somebody proved us wrong every single week.
Right.
Going forward, if I mention a player that you might like and I might like, and he ends up proving me wrong and I say I'm down on him and he does great, I'm sorry. I apologize, but I'm with you. Baker Mayfield has struggled this year. He has been off target continuously. The offense has seemingly no rhythm to it. Baker Mayfield's best play this year was when he threw the ball 6 yards and Odell Beckham ran the final 83 yards.
Right.
If you have confidence in this offense, you are either punch drunk on, I don't know, Browns euphoria from the offseason, or you're trying to will it into existence. That's fine. It's a tough Ravens defense they're playing, and there are a lot of good quarterback options. I hope Baker Mayfield proves us wrong, because you know what? He's a starter in a league, or he was my starter in a league that I did not want to drop him. But we'll see. We'll see.
And here's the other thing. This is one of the things that I would mention about in terms of if you're thinking about dropping Baker Mayfield. Like, I would rather start Kyle Allen. I'd rather start Daniel Jones, right? I mean, there are guys out there. And so after Baltimore, Browns go to, they're at San Francisco, Stefania's 49ers, off of a bye, right?
15 days off.
Yep. The 49ers will have had 2 weeks to prepare for this, and the game's in San Francisco on Monday Night Football, so they'll be fired up, and that 49ers defense has played really well. Then they're home to Seattle. Seattle isn't Seattle anymore, but it's not a, you know, shaky defense. You don't feel like it's a great matchup. It's just not a terrible one. Then they have a bye in week 7. Then they're at New England in week 8.
Yep.
They're at Denver in week 9.
Correct.
They're home to Buffalo in week 10. It's not until week 11 when they're home against the Steelers that you start thinking, like, okay, maybe I could use them again. And then by the way, I will say this, if you want to just think in your head around week 11 for Baker Mayfield, because Baker Mayfield, week 11, it's Pittsburgh, week 12, home to Miami, week 13 at Pittsburgh, week 14, home to Cincinnati, week 15 at Arizona.
Okay.
There's a much easier schedule coming starting in week 11, but like, you're not hanging on to a guy in a one quarterback, 10 team league till week 11.
Correct. Understood on all that. So yes, that's the take on Baker for this week. And maybe he'll prove us wrong and we'll all feel like morons on Sunday night. But that would be good for the NFL if the Browns were back to being competitive because of all the expectations this offseason. I think you have to live with the week 3s of the Marquise Brown world if you're going to have him in your roster. All right. You can't just get always 30 plus points in a given week. That's what he was crazy, incredible in week 1. He was 8 for 85 in week 2. Well, he was 2 catches in week 3. I think the ultimate, you know, I don't think, like, it's not a mystery. If you roster Hollywood Brown, you have to accept that there are going to be weeks where he's going to be low volume.
Yeah.
He is, the easy comparison is DeSean Jackson, because he's kind of like DeSean Jackson, faster than everybody else on the field in most weeks. The volume may not be there, but we have him as a top 25 play this week. The Browns' secondary does not totally scare us.
And they're banged up.
The Ravens are at home. There's definitely a chance that Hollywood Brown goes for 100-plus yards.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that all he needs is one play.
Just needs one play. The Bengals go to Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football. That is the game of the year right there, right here on ESPN. You know what we're calling this game, Daniel? Here's what we're calling this game. We're calling this game Somebody Has to Win. 0-3 Bengals, 0-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. This game is at Pittsburgh. That's good news right there. You're starting Joe Mixon. You're starting Tyler Boyd. You've got a great matchup against the Steelers
yes.
in the slot. You're starting James Conner somewhat reluctantly. But it's a good matchup.
James Conner made my love list.
Yeah, and he's a top 10 play for all of us. Yeah. I'm saying reluctantly because he's been bad, and that you just you're doing it more because you have to, not necessarily because you think he's earned it after the first 3 weeks of the season. Same with Juju. But Stefania, there is one injury of note here. Vance McDonald.
Yeah, spotted in a sling after the game. Obviously, he left injured his shoulder. And look, I think the biggest sign is that they made the trade that they did to get Nick Vinette.
Right.
So obviously,
that might have been tied to Xavier Grimble.
Yes, but I still worry about Vance McDonald's availability.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Vance McDonald seems like he's going to be banged up. Matthew earlier mentioned that if you know, grab someone like Will Disley and don't risk the chance and be stuck.
I was going to say there's one day of practice only when you have a Monday night game, so that's all we have.
Right. So check. So we'll see what he does today. We'll see what he does Saturday because they'll have a Saturday practice. Obviously, tune into Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning. 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. I'm a company man. As we'll have the latest there. But maybe one thing to think about, Tyler Eifert's out there in 83% of ESPN leagues. So if Will Disley's gone in your league or whatever, and you're sitting there, like, maybe grab Eifert so that you have a viable guy if Vance McDonald goes out. That may be a way to go.
So you're in a pinch player of the week is Tyler Eifert at the tight end spot for Monday night if need be.
Yeah, I mean,
it makes sense.
Well, just if you need a tight end, like Tyler Eifert has not been terrible so far this year. He's been all right. My expectation is that you've got two defenses that really struggled here. I actually think Dalton is going to have to throw quite a bit in this game. Remember, the Steelers 31st against the pass so far this year. And so Tyler Eifert, if you need a guy because Vance McDonald's out, that would be a way to, because Vance may play, to hedge against the fact that if you want to roll Vance out there with a good matchup, you could have Tyler Eifert in case Vance is inactive, because I would prefer Eifert to any of the Steelers tight ends that would replace Vance McDonald. Nick Vinette just got there.
Jaguars at Broncos. You're starting Leonard Fournette. You're starting Philip Lindsay. It doesn't seem likely that Jalen Ramsey will be playing on Sunday, which gives even more value to Emmanuel Sanders. Seriously, though, there is a fantasy tied to it.
And Cortland Sutton, yep.
And Cortland Sutton. But it's the Jaguars wide receiver that I think most people are actually asking about. Has DJ Shark worked his way into weekly flex consideration? Not, if you read, the always enjoyable, sometimes retweetable love-hate from this week.
Thank you very much, Field Yates. Yeah, he made the hate list, right? I mean, so look, here's a guy that's been nothing short of fantastic. He's been a top eight. He's the eighth best wide receiver in fantasy so far this year. But I'm nervous about the fact that, look, it should be a low-scoring game. The over-under is projected to be 38 points. Think about what Allen Robinson and Devontae Adams did against this Broncos defense. 8 catches for 97 yards combined.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at four for under 50, right? And then you think about, why is DJ Shark a top eight fantasy wide receiver, right? It's the touchdowns. He's actually scored in 3 straight games. Those touchdowns have accounted for almost 50% of his fantasy total, 44.6%. Well, the Broncos have been nothing short of terrific defensively. They've allowed just 7 red zone drives so far this season. That's tied for 5th fewest entering week 4. Even though they're not getting much pressure on the quarterback, I mean, they haven't been a great fantasy defense, but they've been a pretty good real-life NFL defense here. I think Shark sees a lot of Chris Harris. I don't know if it's a shadow or not, but I think he's going to see a decent amount of Chris Harris. So, yeah, I have Shark as a wide receiver 4 this week. I'm at 37.
I'm no Mike Clay, but I feel like a regression alert is bound to happen for DJ Shark. 3 straight touchdowns. Maybe the 4th week is the one that he finally misses it. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? You ever feel that
way?
All the time.
They're so big.
I wake up thinking it. I go to bed thinking it.
Right. You're not the only one.
I think it right now.
Same. It's as if they're so big, they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions
big
of
meanies.
Live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more, including The Lion King, which is coming to Boston. I just picked up some tickets, thanks to SeatGeek, for an upcoming Lion King show. SeatGeek has tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. They build the fastest way to find tickets, so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web, then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced, so maybe stay away from those. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. The Cowboys go to the Saints in New Orleans on Sunday night. This should be a great game. The Saints obviously know Drew Brees, but they did play awesome last week in defeating the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Kind of an injury update of note, though, Stefania. Mr. Amari Cooper, who has been amazing for the Cowboys, he going to play on Sunday night, you think?
I think he's going to play. Remember, he left Wednesday's practice early, ankle issue that they sent him for an MRI. Sounded like it was precautionary. Turns out that was probably the case. Back in practice on Thursday, and it sounds like the Cowboys plan on having him on Sunday night.
That's good news there. And this is kind of a chalky game, right? I mean, you're starting the Cowboys you normally start. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper for the Saints, or Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. But Matthew, you have one flyer, maybe a DFS play, maybe you're deep.
Yeah, I wonder, because I only download, I don't listen to Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle.
Right.
Do you have a favorite, by the way?
Of those three?
Oh, yeah, of Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle.
Squirrel, yeah, he's handsome, got a nice beard, and smart.
Probably Squirrel, I would agree.
Yeah.
Which one, hey, have you guys figured out your roles yet? Like, which one's you the bad boy? Which one's you, the nice one?
Which one has tattoos and a beard?
I think Al is the nice one. I think I'm the bad boy, and I think Mike Clay's the bad boy.
And Mike Clay.
And I'm just the handsome one that gets all the
ladies. You're like the lead singer.
But Mike Clay is definitely the bad boy for sure.
Got it.
For sure.
Interesting. I don't know. Again, I only downloaded and listened. Did you guys mention Devin Smith?
We did not this week.
So I think Devin Smith is sort of interesting here. He played on 91% of the Cowboys' offensive snaps last week. Only Patrick Mahomes has more deep touchdown passes this year than Dak Prescott. He's played lights out. Dak has played very, very well, right?
He's going up.
Right, and the Saints allow the third most yards per play. I mean, we've talked about this before in other matchups here. Obviously, the game is in New Orleans, and when you get in New Orleans and you play, like, not only the Saints put up a lot of points, but teams against them put up a lot of points because it always turns into a bit of a track meet here, and so over-under is 47, and I feel like that's going to be, I would sort of take the over there. I feel like this game has shootout potential here. Two very good offenses, and so Devin Smith, I think it's sort of interesting. Like, again, with Amari Cooper not 100%, and they're going to have to throw, give me a little Devin Smith. Now, we haven't seen a big Ezekiel Elliott game here, too, so you could see them try to go that way, but on the road, try to take the crowd out of it. I get it, but a DFS flyer. Or if you're in a deeper league and looking for somebody, Devin Smith.
Raiders at Colts, game being played in Indianapolis. Stefania, major injury here as well. T.Y. Hilton, what do we think on his availability for Sunday?
I think we don't know anything until today because T.Y. did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. And the plan was to really hold him back and just get treatment all week.
Okay.
He left last week's game early. His quad stiffened up on him after he got in the end zone. We always talk about him being such a gamer. He'll go out there and play if he can. But there's a real concern about making something that's a soft tissue injury worse, significantly worse, especially after you aggravate it once. You want to be, the team's probably going to be a little more cautious. So he'll have to show them enough today to get them to decide that it's possible. I would guess that if he does do anything today, he'll come in as questionable. And then it'll be another decision that'll come down to the wire like did last week.
Believe this is a 1 o'clock game, which is good news for having to make a lineup adjustment if need be, because you'd have inactives at 11:30. But if he does play, Matthew, despite the health concerns, he's been so good this year that you have to keep starting T.Y. Hilton.
You have to keep him. And Stefania's talked about this, you know, for years, just one of the tougher players in the NFL. And so, yeah, if T.Y. Hilton's starting for the Colts, he's starting for your fantasy team. Don't get cute.
Yeah, along with Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller for the Oakland Raiders.
Waller the Baller.
Nice nickname.
Yes.
Marlon Mack and T.Y. Hilton, also player. In addition to Marlon Mack.
By the way, it's not mine. I just want to clarify that. I don't want to claim credit for Waller the Baller. That is because I asked for nicknames and a follower sent that to me. So that was Twitter sourced.
Got it. Twitter sourced. Waller the Baller.
I feel like I amplified it. I feel like I can take credit for amplifying
it. You did amplify it. That's a good call by you. The Chargers go to Miami to play the Dolphins. Chargers are only a 15.5-point favorite. You know who you're starting for the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, Austin Eckler, and Keenan Allen. Now, I watched Anthony Lynn's press conference yesterday because it was the first one he's had since Melvin Gordon returned. I will just say this. He said he doubts Melvin Gordon plays this weekend. As a matter of fact, he's not sure he'll even travel this weekend. His feeling is that, you know, the more people that come on the trip, the more distractions there are for the team.
Sure.
You might just leave him behind, let him get ready for next week when they play the Broncos. That's the short-term thing. But I will say this. When he spoke, and this is totally an interpretive response that I am passing along. When he spoke yesterday, and I tweeted the primary quote, sort of the bulk of it, that, hey, when Melvin Gordon comes back, he's our guy. He's our number one. He's our starter. And I actually read, the way that he was saying it made me believe, like, no. Like, I'm not just saying that to, like, make Melvin feel good about himself for coming back. Like, this is the plan. Like, I think he felt like, yeah, it's been good from Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson. But, yeah, there's a reason why Melvin Gordon's been so good over the past few years, and he will be good again. So my sense is that sooner rather than later, it could be a lot like last year, where it was clearly Melvin Gordon with enough Austin Ekeler on occasion to be a deeper league flex consideration. And Justin Jackson is just a nice piece to have in case Melvin Gordon departs in free agency after this season.
This one is tough for me. Go ahead. What do you guys
think? I was just going to say, I think the first game back with Melvin Gordon is going to be tough because I think they are going to ramp him up. They've sort of acknowledged that they have to get him back into football shape and conditioning. So that's when it's going to be really tough, is at the outset. And maybe within a couple of weeks, they get to that. They flip the script again. But
I have a question for you.
Okay.
So I posed this on Twitter. I said, I wonder if Melvin Gordon's a sell high. In that, this was the sense, right? Here's the theory, right?
Okay.
And again, I'm not saying he is a sell high. I'm asking this question, right? I'm just...
Yeah, you're asking.
So,
you're positing.
Just like, is Melvin Gordon's perceived value right now higher than it will be for the rest of the season? The argument for that would be is that right now everyone is saying, like, oh, Melvin Gordon's back. He would have been a top seven running back if he'd been there from the start of training camp. So everyone's thinking, like, this guy is a rock solid RB1 and you could get RB1 value for him. Meanwhile, the argument for that is, like, maybe he's more RB2, that maybe Austin Ekeler has played so well that he's earned more touches, and as opposed to 6 or 7 touches a game, maybe he's in the 8 to 12 range, right? Maybe he gets 12 touches a game. Maybe, because listen, Melvin Gordon is not the most efficient running back, right? He needs volume. He needs volume, to sort of get there in terms of being a top 6 guy. He'll still be the guy that, you know, gets the majority of the goal line stuff here. But then you also, as Stefania says, like, we don't know what kind of shape Melvin Gordon is in. Is there an increased risk of injury for this guy who's going to get ramped up immediately after not being in camp? You know, which is different than, so I'm posing that question. I ask both of you, my esteemed colleagues, Stefania Bell and Field Yates, brilliant fantasy minds that you are. Is Melvin Gordon a sell high or no? Or you just, if you've got him, you've just, like, you won the lottery because you drafted a guy that no one thought was coming back till week 10, and he's going to be there in week 6.
I think, obviously, as you always say, it depends on your situation. I have him in that Scott Fishbowl, and there's nowhere else to go.
Like, yeah, you can't trade in that league. There's no trading in that league.
But I will evaluate it in other leagues, and here's why. I do think, you know, any guy, we talked about this yesterday, any guy who's been away from football when they come back, there is concern about increased risk for injury because they haven't done the acclimation. I really think it's how they bring him along. If all of a sudden he's getting a ton of work, I'm going to be a little bit nervous for sure. I do think that's there, and especially given his injury history.
I wouldn't be selling high right now.
Okay.
I'd hang tight because right now no one's going to be trading you a legit RB1 for Melvin Gordon. I'd be very surprised. If you could get a legit RB1, then yes.
What if somebody offered, if you had Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
And somebody offered you Beckham.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, so that's a wide receiver one.
Okay, so a legit running back one or wide receiver one. Yes, I would do it.
Right.
A firmly established, you have no concerns about that
player.
That's
selling high. That's what I'm saying.
Right, like, okay, but I don't think you're going to be able to get that. That's my guess. My guess is you will not be able to get that right now. My guess. If someone's willing to give you a legit established RB1 or a legit established wide receiver one, I do it.
I think it's unlikely to get an
RB1
because you've got an RB1, people, right, you know, position. But if someone were to give you, like, a slow starting RB, a wide receiver one, Beckham, Juju, you doing that? Because I am.
Yeah, probably on Juju. Yes, on Beckham, probably on Juju. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Interesting call. Interesting thought. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. It's so funny because after I tweeted that, you know, that I, hey, is this a sell high? You know, I wonder if his workload comes down. Like, literally 5 minutes later, you tweeted, you know, hey, I just watched Anthony Lynn's press conference, and Anthony's like, no, he's going to be our guy, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, who knows? It's certainly a good, if you have Melvin Gordon on your roster, you certainly are encouraged by Anthony Lynn's press conference in his words.
The good news is if you have Austin Eckler on your roster, you've got one more week of utility, and it might be very good utility against the Dolphins on Sunday. Before that game begins, you have the opportunity to watch us on Fantasy Football Now, ESPN2 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Will Cain, along with the three of us, hobnobbing for 3 hours. We look forward to that. Stefania, one more note to close the show.
Yeah, well, two things. One is before we leave the Chargers game, Mike Williams has not practiced at all this week because of his back, which made me nervous because he missed up virtually all of his rookie season because of his back. He wasn't even down on the field watching during the open portion to media. So we should get more information today, but beware of that. And then last night's game, Avante Maddox and Jamal Williams, who both left on spine boards, both have taken to social media to say that they are good. Avante Maddox tweeted, and he flew home with the team, which is a great sign to release from the hospital. And Jamal Williams posting on Instagram that he's Gucci.
Okay.
Appreciated all the thoughts.
Be glad to hear that.
Love to hear that. One quick thing on Mike Williams. Look, he could blow up, obviously. It's against Miami, but that makes me nervous. Like in a game which we think the Chargers win handily, right? Like even if Mike Williams is active, you know, does he do that much? And if they get up to a big lead quickly, you know, they just say like, hey, we don't, you know, we need you for next week. Like Mike Williams would make me nervous. Let's see what happens today. But if he's even limited in practice, that would make me nervous. By the way, update, Greg Allman on Twitter, who covers the Buccaneers, does a great job, says Chris Godwin is practicing today. So that is good signs for anyone that has Godwin on their
and
team.
Ito Smith has cleared the concussion protocol, according to Vaughn McClure. One more injury update we got during the show. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
If you play DFS, if you're a big fan of Clay, Squirrel, or Smizzle,
okay,
just want to mention RotoPass Daily. Still out there, rotopassdaily.com. It is great for all your DFS needs.
Here you
check it out. You can use the promo code LAUNCH, L-A-U-N-C-H, for 15% off. Rotopassdaily.com, helping you with all your contests. We have, you know, just check it out. It is, we have lineup builders and tools and analysis, and it's a great collection of sites.
Good stuff there. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
For Fields, Stefania, I'm Matthew. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dye.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Lyle 06010.